Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 27th. Joining us this morning, Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby. Good morning, sir.
And then gracious good morning to you.
Or are you T-Rex?
No, that's the T. That's the the cup. A little pun of words there.
Yeah.
T-E-A-R-E-X. T-Rex on a cup.
Yeah, you're right. Phonetically, it's not much of a pun, is it?
You got to
see it.
You
got to be there.
You got to be hard up for something to do to comment on a T-Rex cup.
I just thought it was creative.
Is it?
That's all.
Oh, okie dokie.
And it's kind of like a bad pun, and that's kind of what I like.
Do you? I'll see if I can do this. Accommodate you then.
All righty. So our quote this morning, you got something there to jumpstart us?
From my favorite German poet. Make your ego porous. Will is of little importance. Complaining is nothing. Fame is nothing. Openness, patience, receptivity, solitude is everything. That's from Rainer Maria Rilke, my favorite German poetry, who wrote Roten, Roten, Roten durch der Nacht, durch der Tag. Writing, writing, writing through the night, through the day. Etc.
Yes. I like Stephen King's version of that.
Yeah, what's that?
A buddy of mine had walked by the house and saw the mailbox, right, where all these millions of dollars of checks come through in Maine. He happened to come out. And so Chris said, "Why do you keep writing?"
To
Stephen King.
Yeah.
So why do you keep writing? You know, I mean, you got everything you got.
I need the mail.
He says, "What makes you think I can?"
What makes you think?
I can. I stop.
Oh,
writing.
oh, yeah, that's right.
Do.
Yeah, that's right. It's not a voluntary act for some people.
Yeah.
Like Tourette's.
How do you develop trust?
My definition of trust is based on making agreements with people and then monitoring whether or not the agreements are kept by them or not and how they're kept.
So kind of like the Reagan line, trust but verify?
Well, trust comes from the evaluation of the verification.
Right.
So if you tell me you'll be here at 8 o'clock every morning and you're never here until 8:05, I can trust you to always be 5 minutes late. It's predictable based upon what you said you would do. So that's my definition of trust. I don't do naive trust or trust without validation, analysis, feedback loop. Because without feedback loop, it's naive trust. And naive trust winds right up in the dumper.
So with the meetings that happened with South Korea and North Korean presidents, and they're... You know, the kumbaya, and by the end of the year, the Korean conflict will be
nice
over.
Meeting you, man.
And we're gonna, you know, we're one country, one society. We're gonna start reuniting families together that are split. It kind of sounds like it could be East-West Germany. Sounds like it could also be something entirely different.
Right.
So the trust factor, after a couple of generations of not being trusted. What would you suggest if you're sitting at the table?
What would I suggest for what?
To build the trust factor up. So if somebody makes a statement or a promise, that it's something that isn't actionable at that point, rather than having to wait 5, 10, 20 years before.
Oh, that's
it
no, that's
so
not,
the diplomacy and the negotiation.
Yeah, the 5, 10, 20, that's not actionable. That's nonsense. Right. What would be actionable is if they blow up the tunnels that they've dug for underground. You know, some of those things are big enough to drive a tank through. If they'd blow those up, if they'd tear the wall down, if they let people travel freely from north to south and south to north, that would be actionable now. And there's no reason for it not to be, except for the paranoia. If they let news people in with cameras freely roaming north and south, that would be actionable now. So if it isn't now, in a situation like this, now is relative, and it has to do with what can they do this week, next week, or the week after. 6 months, no, that's smoke and mirrors. That's too late, too far.
So with the backdrop of political gamesmanship, reality, whatever you want to call it, and negotiations, which are a whole different skill set, particularly at that level. It's not like you're haggling over, you know, a piece of real estate or something else that's the normal, you know, give and take. How does that level of agreement differ from what you and I may have? Just as two private citizens, two people. Yeah.
Oh, well, if we're living in the same apartment complex and I say, stop parking in my parking place, and you go, oh, too bad, sunshine, I'll park wherever I want. Well, then I got some choices to make. I can report you to the manager, and we can whine and snivel about that. Or you can find an ice pick in your tires, and then I find an ice pick in my tires, and then et cetera, et cetera. That's no good, right? So this has to do with proportionality and scale. If Trump says, okay, I will lift all of the economic sanctions on North Korea, that's definitely not proportional if he's not getting something with any clarity in the return.
So measurable again.
It's got to be measurable. It's got to be clear.
It's also 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of negotiations, I think, is something that is either very well embraced by certain individuals or something that is very uncomfortable.
Well, the purpose of negotiation is to avoid violence.
Or to get a benefit of some sort.
The negotiation. Avoid violence and maintain equity of some sort, so that each side gets a payoff of some sort with some equity, so it's not imbalanced, right? And if you don't want to do that, then just the big guy wins. Whoever's got the biggest club gets the biggest benefit.
When things like the Korean discussions begin, there's the public consumption information, there's the private consumption information, and then there's the accurate information.
Accurate. Oh, there's a mouthful. Right?
I mean, it's
accurate. What is reality? Reality is a tape recording of all the stuff that went on without people commenting on it. Because to get reality, you got to know what people think, how they feel, what they had for breakfast, whether they're...
Well, the tones and...
Whether they're pissed off or not before they go into negotiations, that makes a difference. I grew up with labor relations on television when TV was pretty new in terms of reporting stuff. And they would report what people were thinking and feeling, and then they'd report what the negotiations came up with. Well, I just can't imagine Trump and Kim Il-sung being in the same room at the same time, alone, with only their translators, talking to each other. And then in terms of what reality is. And then I think about, okay, what if you're a translator? What do you do with all this stuff? Now, a translator's gotta have some kind of integrity about not saying anything, at least for a year or 2 years, or when are you going to write that book, right?
Yeah, upon retirement.
And if you write that book, do you include Dennis Rodman in the book? Do you interview him? Is he going to write a book? I don't know. Is he competent to write? Can he write? Is he going to start talking about what he talked to Kim Il-sung about, or just play basketball with him? Where's the weirdness in that? In the reality of that relationship. So that's a different kind of power. Because I can't imagine going to North Korea myself. I can't think of anything I would want to see or do there, because it is so inequitable for the ordinary person. Right? So that's all interesting stuff. So we'll see what the next week brings, which will be an initial give and take. And then comes the negotiations for the next year and how much money and resources they're going to turn loose of.
The real stuff.
Bank accounts that have been frozen, the properties that have been frozen. What else do they got?
Foreign aid.
And once they start turning loose, well, for example, if they unfreeze all the assets in New York, then they'll immediately transfer those to Switzerland. And those are gone forever. So that would be an interesting error, because then they lose all the power.
Yeah.
You don't get anything for it. If you unfreeze all your assets in New York and they transfer them to Switzerland, you've lost any advantage, any leverage, any power. You can't negotiate for something you don't have control over.
Get it first.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Right.
It was interesting for me to hear the news story this morning, and I tend to listen to words a little bit more intently than others. When the president said honorable. And I know, you know, culture, there was obviously when you call somebody honorable, a threshold has been crossed.
That's important.
Yeah.
Right.
Wondering if immediately, I mean, it was like a nanosecond negotiating point.
He called Kim Il-sung honorable?
Yeah.
Huh.
For having the meetings.
For having the meetings.
And I thought, okay. Now, well, the games have now officially begun.
Yes.
Is where,
right, because that's all social level hype.
Right.
To say the words.
But for some people, that
means something.
Yeah, there's some influence on that.
Oh, it's...
Now, it might be, ha, 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 I got him.
It's like maybe holding the door open for somebody in and of itself.
No.
What does it mean? Not much.
Versus keeping the door closed.
Or letting them open it themselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, or expecting them to hold it for you. I mean, it's
little steps, but still. It's a small thing. She called him honorable.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I understand.
Window dressing, certainly.
Right.
The concept of compromise. Tough to do when you're negotiating?
Compromise? Oh, no. This
part of the game.
This is all done ahead of time. It's like playing poker. You figure out how much you're going to ante, how much you're going to bet, and you know what cards you hold. So it's
acceptable risk.
Yeah, you know what you're doing ahead of time.
Yeah. Part of planning things instead of just shooting from the hip.
Right.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby, Talk Shop presented by Redeck.
Redeck.
American Ag Credit, by Lolita Cheese Factory, and by CDH Painting.
Lou, jeez. What?
You're popular.
Yeah.
what do we say, ripped from today's headlines. We've got two major things yesterday is the sexual misconduct, and I guess that's probably a soft phrase to use instead of it, but it's an all-encompassing one, with Bill Cosby being found guilty, okay?
Yeah.
And with Tom Brokaw now being accused.
Accused. J'accuse.
And you got, is there
any end to this?
No. How common is it? No.
Oh, it's ordinary. It's like women being molested. It's ordinary. And it's secret. People don't talk about that stuff.
So this is just more sharing?
It's underground. It's all the time underground. And the more this comes out, thank you, Mr. Weinstein, the more it comes out, then the more it makes the abuse an ordinary subject of conversation, rather than being hush-hush and don't talk about it, and maybe it'll go away. Or here's a nickel, go get a candy bar.
Or feeling isolated. Only me?
I probably deserved it. I probably asked for it. I didn't, so I'm not gonna say anything about it. Or I'm the only one. Or
so some of the internal scripting, kicks in.
Right. And you'd be surprised how much of the "I asked for it" there is in the world. It's not legit, but it's a fantasy that women have in their head about how they're treated since childhood, about they deserve what they get because blah, 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 blah. And then there's all sorts of justifications for that. There's no justification for abuse. It's just the abusers run amok with the power stuff, right? And then generally starts in childhood where you got a large adult abuser and a little tiny child victim. And so that's what they grow up with in their family of origin. Or orphanage, or aunt, uncle, or grandma, grandpa, or uncle, etc. And they get abused and taken advantage of and pushed around and discarded. And then that's their life. And then they start thinking about, oh, that's the way things are, because that's what they know, is how things have been. And so then they grow up and they start dating men who abuse them, because that's what they know. They know the moves. They know the transactions, what to do next. It's familiar. It's not, they don't like it, but it's familiar in terms of the psychology of the thing. And people will put up with an awful lot of misery because it's familiar and predictable. So there's no anxiety about predictability. If you give up being a victim, well, now you start generating some anxiety about, oh, gee, what do I do now?
Because it's unfamiliar?
Because it's unfamiliar. And if I stand up for myself, oh dear, what's going to happen next? Well, if you do that, then you got to start venturing out into the unfamiliar world. If you don't do that and you get slapped around, maybe that's all you do is get slapped around once in a while. That's familiar. And so you go, all right, I can take being slapped around for the security of knowing what the predictability is. Now, this is not something you sit down and you write out on paper. This is all unconscious material. So you accept a few slaps or a few kicks or a few black eyes. Difficulty is when it escalates into hospital. Broken ribs, broken eye, broken face, broken jawbone. Then it gets closer to death and dismemberment then.
So that's on the receiving end. What about the attacker?
Attacker only gets moderate incidental relief of their anxiety. And then they got to do it again. That's the problem with the violence cycle, is that it doesn't last. It has to. You got to do it again and again and again in order to get the relief from the tension that builds up. So if someone is an abuser, they have to be abusive. They have to put the other person down. They have to do, you're not okay, in order for them to get some small feeling of okayness based upon, I'm bigger than you are, therefore I'm better than you are, or I'm older than you are, therefore I'm smarter than you are, therefore.
So it's kind of like a fixed-sum game then.
Yeah.
And for me to win, you have to lose instead of both winning.
That's right. For me to feel better, you have to feel bad. And that goes on and on and on and on. And it's generational.
So that's a learned behavior?
Yeah. It's generational. You teach it to your children. Your children teach it to their children. It's what you learn at your father's knee, and your children learn at their father's knee, which would be your knee.
So if it's as common, is this now just a sharing with those that don't deal with it? A sharing with the judicial system?
If it gets bad enough, then you report it. You report it to the police, and if there's a legal statute that covers it, then you can get lawyers and police involved to incarcerate the other person. But look at Cosby, he's out on bail. Maybe he'll never see prison. Who knows?
Yeah, they're saying, 80 years old, and he could have 30 years in jail.
He could be the rest of his life in jail, or he may get out on appeal and do, I'm old, please give me a break. That's not going
to
be
popular. That's a tough spot to,
That's not going to be popular. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back with Mr. Quimby this morning. Lou, a lot of what we've been hearing about lately is socioeconomic related. Successful guys. Moneyed guys.
Moneyed power.
Is this with the sexual attention, misbehavior, however we want to classify it, egregious action. Is there a socioeconomic component to it?
They got money, they got power. What do you mean? They can do what they bloody well please. Right, so...
So that's why those are the ones that are being...
Targeted? Well, those are the ones... Let's see. Weinstein... Enough was enough. It just got to be too much. And suddenly somebody with some courage spoke up, and then women started coming out of the woodwork. Me too, me too, me too, me too, me too. Which is fine. But the men get away with it because they got power and influence. And they have something that other people want. The ingenue problem in Hollywood, for example. And you see it in movies all the time. The girls come from Iowa to Hollywood to make their mark in the movies, whatnot, and they turn into prostitutes because that's the only way they can make a nickel, et cetera, et cetera. Or their heart is broken, and so they crawl back to Iowa and they start picking corn. If you want to break into Hollywood, for example, where pretty girls are a dime a dozen. Well, how do you get an advantage? What a minute! If all the casting is done by men, how do you? I don't know. I'm a guy. I don't know how this works. What could a woman do to get an advantage over lots of other women when a guy is the one who's the gatekeeper? Duh.
Now, how does it happen for guys?
for guys get ahead?
Yeah.
Same difference.
Same, same.
Same, same. Same, same. Yeah. The matriarchalness is less common than homosexual. It's there. It's all there. It's all the abuse of power is all there. But in Hollywood, homosexuality is more of a man's problem than it is in Toledo, Ohio. That would be ordinary social pressure, financial pressure, stock tips or something like that, that sort of thing.
Do you anticipate that there's going to be more and more accusations, more and more revelations, that this is now something that's going to have years and years and years worth of...
Well, it's ordinary now with Weinstein. Weinstein made it ordinary. And lots of other people, Tom Brokaw notwithstanding, people are standing up and saying, Jacques, you did this, blah, blah, blah. So ordinarily when something like this happens, it settles down. We'll see.
Thanks for coming by, sir.
Yeah, you
bet. See everybody tomorrow.